Great. Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. And happy Father's Day to the fathers among us. And, home and, your house, it's a funny old thing, isn't it? You tidy it up, you have it all smart and everything, and then, when your kids are little, it changes in a moment. My father-in-law used to visit us, he still visits us, but he used to visit us when the kids were little, and he'd walk in and he would say this. He said, you can tell it's a home and not a museum. And as much as we have aspirations for our household and our house, sometimes it doesn't always go quite according to plan, does it? Or sometimes there are things that perhaps God has better ideas about. And I don't know whether you find that as a parent today, you look at your household and you think, there are things that I perhaps hope for and dream for and perhaps haven't yet fully been fulfilled. Well, I believe God hears the cries of our hearts with regard to some of those things. So don't lose heart and don't lose hope. God is very much for us and for our families. God wants you and I to be in families that know Jesus Christ, that are serving God together, that are honouring him with our lives. And when I was thinking about this and thinking about fathers and the Father's house, I came up with a title that's a bit cheesy, to be honest, for this morning's service. Is there anybody called Beth? I think we've had one in earlier, probably. Anybody called Beth in the room? Great. Well, you could be a Beth, couldn't you, if you were a Lizzie Beth? Yeah. Great. Because I want to talk about three Beths of the house of God. Three Beths of the house of God. In Hebrew scripture, the word Beth, of course, occurs frequently and is a designation for what we would term as house or dwelling place. Beth. And we'll pick that up in a few minutes. And of course, when you think about house and you think about Father's house, Jesus on a couple of occasions talked about the Father's house or the house of God. You think about the first instance there in Matthew 21, Mark 11, where it's recorded that Jesus went into the temple and he found people just doing all sorts of stuff, trading off people with regard to sacrifices, money changers, etc. And he tips all the tables over, causes an absolute stir and a stink. And he quotes a combination of Isaiah 56 and Jeremiah 7, where he says, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." This house, this was the temple in Jerusalem. This was the place that Solomon had built. And it was a place where God would reveal himself by his presence and his glory would come in the Holy of Holies of that place. And that whole sense of it's God's house, but it was a place of revelation as well. It was a house, it was a temple, it was a place on earth. And then, of course, the second instance I'm thinking of is when Jesus is about to leave his disciples, and they are a little bit concerned as to quite what is coming and how things are going to pan out. And Jesus says these famous words in John 14, which are often read at funerals, where he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So there's this sense of a picture of a home, God's house, in heaven, a place that is being prepared as well for you and I. How many of you are pleased about that? Yeah. Come on. If we've accepted the gift of life through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made on the cross, then we are part of that privileged people who are part of God's household, and that one day we will be with him. And this is the wonderful thing about God all through. And we mentioned this as we were preparing for communion, if you were with us last week, that God really, throughout the whole of Scripture, seems to be this message that he wants to be with us. He wants us in his household, as it were. Genesis 3, where Jesus, the Lord appears, and the man and his wife had heard the sound of the Lord in the garden, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" There's this whole sense that God wants to be in communion with you and I. God wants you and I in his house, in his household, to be a part of his holy people, a royal people, a holy nation belonging to God. You know, and this is the wonderful thing, that even though sin separated man from God, that God provided a way for that level of relationship to be restored through the sacrifice and death of his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. And that invitation extends to each one of us to come into God's household, to know that sense of belonging to him and being part of that family. And, you know, when you look around the church and the world today and churches, churches are called all different things, aren't they? And there are some churches that are actually called the house of God, actually called that. And there are others, and this is the first Beth that I'm going to mention, Bethel. And when you think about Bethel, it was a place about 10 miles north of Jerusalem in Palestine there. And Bethel was a place, when you look at it, it's a place where heaven meets earth. And we sang a song a few moments ago about Lord asking for the sound of heaven to touch earth. Lord, we want to be touched with the sound of heaven. And of course, there are churches around the world today that are called Bethel. We used to have one in Cleethorpes. It was called Bethel, and perhaps probably some people here used to be part of that. There's a very famous one right now in Redding, California, called Bethel. House of God. Bethel means house of God. And it was where Jacob, if you remember, on his way from Beersheba to Haran, had a vision of angels on that ladder, ascending to heaven and descending. It's where heaven seemed to engage with earth. This place, Bethel. And as you find that in Genesis 28. And later, Jacob revisits the place. Hello? Come in. Oh, I see I'm going to be contending with the grass cutter. All right, that's great. Then Jacob revisits the place later on, and where God talked to him, and he builds an altar there, and he calls it El Bethel, which is the God of the house of God, if you like, a literal sort of translation to that. And when you look at Israel and the people of God throughout their history, they return over and over again to Bethel because that's where God was, that's where they would come. The Ark of the Covenant was there for quite a long time. And they would come and seek God and seek his counsel, particularly in times of trouble. How many of you know when you're in a difficult time, oh, that's when we pray, don't we? Oh, Lord, what are we going to do now? Yeah, and they would go to Bethel to hear from God. And of course, another song we sang, I think it was the first song we sang this morning, was Let Your Glory Fill This Place. How many of us want the Church of Jesus Christ to be like a Bethel? Where there's heaven touches earth in our day and generation. I don't know about you, but I just love it when people say, you know, they've been in church or they've been to a midweek group and they say there was a real sense of the presence of God with us when we met. You know, because it's not just about a building today, as it was in the temple, but it's about the gathered church, the corporate temple of the Holy Spirit. And God comes by his Spirit and fills his church. Bethel, don't neglect the gathering together of God's people. The Bethel of God, if you like, truly was a place where heaven met earth. So just keep that one in mind. The second one I just want to mention is Bethlehem. Bethlehem. 6 miles southeast of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, of course, the birthplace of Jesus. And when the wise men were searching for this newborn king, of course, they went to Jerusalem, sought out Herod, and they said, we've come looking for the new king. And he's going, sorry, pardon? And scripture says in Matthew 2 that Herod and all Jerusalem were quite disturbed by what the wise men were asking. And Herod calls the priests and the teachers of the law and asks them, what is going on here? Can you explain what these guys who've come from the east are asking about? And they said, the only thing we can think is what prophet Micah said hundreds of years ago. And in Micah chapter 5, it says this, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Bethlehem was going to be the birthplace of Jesus, the one who would come and be the saviour of the world. If you link that then with Paul in Romans chapter 8, he says this: "Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." How many of you know when Jesus came, it was the start of a new day? It was a new covenant was being made for mankind. And he was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I don't know about you, but I think, wow, Bethlehem, that place of literal birth for Jesus. But what about Bethlehem in the church? A place of new birth, over and over and over and over again. People coming to Jesus. When you look at the word Bethlehem, it literally means house of bread. And how interesting that Jesus said, John 6, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." And when Jesus made that statement, it was at a time when the Jews were questioning him and asking him for a sign that God had truly sent him. You know, as if walking on water wasn't enough, as if feeding thousands hadn't been enough. They said, no, can you show us a sign that you were really sent from God? And they said, you know, our ancestors were fed by God in the desert. They were fed manna supernaturally. And they asked Jesus for a supernatural sign. And Jesus responds by saying this. He says, you know, you need to ask for the true bread. The true bread from heaven. The bread that gives life. And when they listen to this and they respond to this, and they say, give us this bread. And Jesus says this amazing statement. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And that is a phenomenal statement. Just think about it a minute. Number one, he's equating himself with bread, the very stuff that sustains life. Basically, he's saying, "I'm essential for life." Then he's saying, secondly, he's referring not to physical life, but eternal life. And he's got this whole thing where Jesus is trying to shift their thinking from the physical, where he'd fed thousands of people the day before, now to something much greater and much more significant. And he's contrasting what he brings as their Messiah with the bread that he supernaturally created the day before. Third, and this is an interesting one, I think. Jesus is making a claim to his deity. When Jesus says, "I am," it was the first of seven times that Jesus makes that statement in John's Gospel. "I am." And when you link that to the Old Testament and the time that God speaks to Moses, and Moses talks about the "I am," or God speaks to Moses and says, "I am," that's a covenant thing. That's a covenant thing. And it's a sense of a self-sufficient existence. "I am." And Jesus is the "I am" for you and me still today. The theologians would refer to it as aseity, that attribute that only God can possess. He is the "I am." And when Jesus would have said, "I am the bread of life," I think those Jews would have gone, "Hang on a minute. Whoa, that's a phrase we recognize. I am. I am." There would have been a declaration that Jesus was making about his death, his deity. And then if you notice on the scripture, it says two words: "Come and believe." Come and believe. This is an invitation for those listening to place their faith in Jesus, the Messiah. Come and believe. And that invitation keeps coming over and over again as you read through John's Gospel. Second song, "Heaven Beckons Us." That was the song we sang earlier. Heaven beckons us. Coming to Jesus involves making that choice, doesn't it? Believing, coming to him, forsaking the world, believing that Jesus, as we put our faith in him, is the one who saves us. that he will do what he says he will do, that he will bring new life. That sense of Bethlehem in the church again. Life in all its fullness. Can we believe, can you and I believe that City Church could increasingly be a place of Bethlehem for people? Number three, third Beth, Bethany. Bethany, 2 miles east of Jerusalem. Bethany represents a place called home. A place called home. And when you look at Bethany and you look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, you find repeatedly over and over again, Jesus seems to be going to Bethany, spending time in Bethany. It's a place he seems quite connected to, seems very much at home. There's a number of scriptures that we won't look at them all, but I think there's a whole list on there if you want to look at them later. But a couple of examples, Mark chapter 11, Jesus is reclining at the home of Simon the leper. There are certain places myself and Anne-Marie go where she kicks off her shoes, folds her knees up under her and sort of lolls on the settee. She feels very much at home. If she comes to your home and she's like that, she feels at home. If she's sitting, endeavouring to be prim and proper, maybe not so much. Jesus was reclining in the home of Simon the leper. And it seems like, to me, over and over again, Jesus, like Bethany was a bit like a home for him in many ways. And it's interesting that after his resurrection in Luke 24, he led his disciples out to the vicinity of Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken to heaven. It's like his final moments on earth were in the vicinity of Bethany before he went to his ultimate home in heaven. One last example. Of course, Bethany was the place where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And that incident where Lazarus died. And Mary goes to find Jesus to let him know. And it's recorded in John chapter 11 and verse 32, says Mary reached the place where Jesus was. And she saw him and she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." It seems to me Bethany and the people of Bethany were very much close to Jesus' heart. I think we all need a church, and to be part of a church where we feel closely connected, we feel very much a part. There is one church, yes, the Church of Jesus Christ, but it has a number of facets. Jesus did a lot of itinerant ministry, but there were places where he was very much at home. People where I think there should be a place where we can feel at home as part of the church, where we can be replenished, where we can be encouraged, where we can encourage others and strengthen others in their walk and journey with Jesus. And it's interesting that Bethany actually means the house of dates. Now, not necessarily the place you go to find your future husband and wife. Think about it. However I did, thank you Jesus. But it's the other type of dates. The house of dates. And you think about the house of dates and you think, well, actually, don't seem to speak of anything particular. Until you remember David in the Old Testament. And what David did when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. If you remember, it had been in the hands of the Philistines. They couldn't handle it. They sent it back to the Israelites. It got stuck on a couple of occasions in a couple of people's houses. Before David eventually gets things in order and brings the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, the presence of God back to the centre of the nation. And it's recorded in 1 Chronicles 16 that they brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave them a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. So in celebration of bringing the Ark of God, the presence of God, back to the center of the nation, everyone was given a cake of dates. In celebration of that. And this tent that David had pitched was not like the tent that Moses had built, the tabernacle of old. This was an open-sided tent where everybody could come and access the presence of God. There weren't any restrictions. This was open for all to be worshipping together, to be replenished, and to sense and feel and know the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but I just love the sense of being at home with the family of God, where we can come and we can openly worship, where we can experience his presence, something of his glory, and where we can grow and journey together in our faith. I don't know about you. I love a church where I feel at home. And I want to just leave us with a couple of more thoughts, but perhaps the musicians could come back. You know, maybe was your home the question? In 2014, 2015, if you were with us, you know, we had a number of events that we held under the banner of making City Church a home. We did various events. One of them was Come Dine With Us, where people opened their homes and we had meals together. We're going to do a similar thing again, aiming for probably the 31st of July, so watch out for that on the calendar. But I believe it is so important that we find a spiritual home, that we know where we belong. And I think, sadly, there are a few people who remain what I would term spiritual nomads, who really never find a church that they call home. It's interesting that while speaking to the Jews, James, in Acts chapter 16, he uses the words of the prophet Amos to give credence to the fact that the gospel was now open to the Gentiles. And he says these words. This is God speaking historically through Amos. I will rebuild David's fallen tent. Not the tent of Moses, but David said that access place, that place where we can come. Its ruins I will rebuild and I'll restore, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord. How many of you are you glad that your name is on a guest list of heaven? And there's a place, not only ultimately in Father's house in heaven, but even on earth today, where you can feel part and parcel of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm very much at home. Paul says, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a place for you in the body of Christ, in the church, that is just where he wants you to be. A place that you can call home. And so on Father's Day, as I think about the house of God, Father's house, the church, my prayer is this. My prayer is that here at City Church, we would continue to be increasingly a Bethel. A place where heaven and earth meet. Where the presence of God is readily and regularly experienced and encountered. That we would continue to be and increasingly be a Bethlehem, a place of new birth, where people are regularly coming to Christ, receiving God's forgiveness, finding new life in him. And thirdly, that we would increasingly be a Bethany, a place called home where people come and they can feel connected and at home, and in an environment where they can freely worship, grow in faith and communion with the Lord and his people. Anybody want to be a church, be a part of a church like that? A Bethel, a Bethany, a Bethlehem. Let's stand and pray. Jesus. Yeah. You know, and this, and being part of the church is not signing up to something. It's actually asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, to forgive you of sin, to receive new life from him, to open your heart to him, to say, Lord, wherever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do, I'm here available for you. Lord, we want to just be so in tune with heaven that people come amongst us and say, wow, because something of heaven is touching earth on a regular basis. Lord, we ask in your grace and in your mercy, with experience that we have, we look back and we say, wow, Lord, thank you in our own lives for what you've done. But Lord, we believe there's so much more. We believe this world needs to see, as Hugh was talking earlier, a church with a voice, with an authority that can only come as heaven touches earth through the church. And Lord, that's the people we want to be. We want to be a people that's regularly encountering you and carrying you to this world in which we live. Lord, a place where we can feel at home, standing shoulder to shoulder with one another, encouraging one another in our journey of faith. Lord, a place that is open and willing to receive. People from all different walks and lives and backgrounds. Lord, we want this to be a home. Lord, we want this to be a place where people find new birth. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.